the Yerusha? What if the daughters, what if the sons died before the father and the sons left daughters? So it's a toss-up between Bas HaBen and the Bas. So the din is that since the sons Yarshan and the daughters don't Yarshan, so the granddaughters get and the daughter doesn't get anything. In days of the Baisheni, the Chachamim had a lot of trouble from the Tzdukim. So this is one of the issues that the Gemara records many disputes between the Tzdukim and the Purushim. This is one of them. The women's rights. That the Tzdukim were very concerned. It's not fair to the women. The whole din in the Chumash is not fair. Okay, Chumash, what can they do? The Chumash is not fair. But this is not explicit in the Chumash. They argue, Tirush HaBas and Bas HaBein. If it's a toss-up between the daughter and the granddaughter, the son is not alive anymore. The son predeceased the father. And the son left the daughter, so that's not fair. You should give to the granddaughter, not give to the daughter. So Tirush HaBas and Bas HaBein. So the Gemara was very upset about this. The Gemara says, whoever says such a thing, Tirush HaBas and Bas HaBein, you fire him, you put him in cherem, even if he's the chief rabbi, this is apikursus, it's against the din in the Rosh. Later on, the Gemara records that the early Christians had this shtick. The early Christians picked up a lot of shtick from the Tzdukim. One of the shtick was that Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday, Pentecost, the holiday of the 50th day, always falls out on a Sunday, that they got from the Tzdukim, that you can't sphere the Mochas on Shabbos. Other shtick also, around 10, 15 different things that the early Christians picked up in the Tzdukim. So this is one of them. The Gemara in Shabbos tells a story that Rabbi Gamliel and his sister was Marta Blazer Ben Horkinis. So Rabbi Gamliel and his sister came to a Christian judge after the father died to divide the Yerusha. So the sister gave a bribe to the judge. So the judge said, the son and the daughter Yarshan equally. Then Rabbi Gamliel gave a bribe, so the next day he reversed the psak. And the sister said, well, what about the menorah she gave him a menorah? What about the menorah? Rabbi Gamliel said, well, what about whatever he gave him as a bribe? So they were making fun of this Christian judge. But that was the policy of the Christians, the women's issues. That's how the Christianity began. The rabbis are cheating the women of the equal rights. That's the reform also. The rabbis are cheating the women of the equal rights. They asked, in Europe, the practice used to be before the Second World War, so people would always bachram from the yeshivas, from the chassidish yeshivas, from the litvish yeshivas. They would all send kashas or shavas to the ragachover on a postcard. If he would pay the postage, he would go broke. So they used to have a double postcard. They used to have it in America. You have a postcard where you write something, and then it's attached to the other postcard, so the other fellow who receives it can answer you back by postcard. So you paid the postage in advance for the response. So they used to send the ragachover all these double postcards, and they used to write all the things on tiny little postcards. When they collected enough, so they printed these collections of letters. It's not really shaylos and tshuvos, usually it's kashas, shaylos. So they sent them a shayla. If we'll ever establish a medina, they were dreaming about establishing a medina in Eretz Yisrael, the League of Nations was talking about. If they'll ever establish a medina, maybe the Knesset, maybe they'll have a Congress, maybe the Knesset should pass a law that the sons and the daughters should yarshin equally, because in the days of the Rishonim it was already a problem that the daughters felt cheated, that they don't get any Yerusha. So that goes Maimoni quotes, and Ramo quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, the end of Chashim Mishpat, and Hilchas Yerusha, that the proper thing is the father should give a reasonable share to the daughters. So years ago, the days of the Ramo, the days of the Rishonim, reasonable share would mean chelak chatzi zocher. Let's say he has three sons and what are you going to say? Three sons and four daughters. Let's say four sons and four daughters. So they would divide the Yerusha in six parts. So each son gets 1/6. There are four sons. Each son gets 1/6. And each daughter will get 1/12. The daughter gets a chelek chatzi zocher, half of what a son gets. That would satisfy the daughters. They say that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that today that will not satisfy the daughters. They're going to get a chelek chatzi zocher. They're only equal to a half of a male son. That's not fair. You have to equal rights. You have to give equal shares to the sons and to the daughters. I know a big Talmid Chacham passed away. He didn't know. He didn't understand what it said in Shulchan Aruch. So he had four daughters and one son. He gave all the four daughters a chelek chatzi zocher. That's not what it says. Each daughter should get, not all the daughters get. You have a lot of daughters, each one gets a chatzizah. The Pshlam Zaman is quoted as having said that today it's not right to give a chatzizah, they should give the sons and the daughters equally. So that's what they asked the Ragat Shavah. Maybe if we'll establish a Medina, they were dreaming, if they'll establish a Medina. Rav Soloveitchik said when he was in Berlin, he used to go visit Rav Chaim Moiser. There was a special train that went from Berlin to Vilna. He used to talk and learn about Rav Chaim Moiser, and he went back to Berlin. So he said they once spoke about the possibility of establishing Medina in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Moiser was a big genius in politics also, not just in learning. In Pilpul, he knew everything. He was a big politician. So he says, when hair will grow on this side, on the palm of my hand, that it's going to be Medina. It was the furthest thing from their mind, that it was a miracle in Hashemayim that they established the Medina in 1948. No one thought it was going to happen. So that's what they asked the Ragat Shavah. They're going to make a Medina, and maybe they should have, the Knesset should make a law that the son and the daughter Yeshayahu should equal. He said, are you crazy? That's how Christianity began. We're not going to be like the Christian. Not going to be like the Tzedukim. We're not going to be like the Christian. Every father should do on his own. Make such kinyonim. The Rambam quotes that goes my meaning. Every father should make kinyonim. But you can't establish as a law like that. That's keneged din haTorah. So the dinim of Yerusha are pretty clear. The Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. You only get Pishnayim b'chol ha'shei matzi lo b'muchzak v'lo b'ra'ui. What's Ra'ui, for example? Let's say Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So as it happens, Avram Avinu died before Yitzchak, Yitzchak died before Yaakov. What if it would have been the reverse? Let's say Yaakov and Esav, for argument's sake, we'll say Yaakov is the Bchor and Esav is the Poshet. Yaakov is entitled to a double portion of what Yitzchak has. Let's say, for argument's sake, Avram Avinu dies after Yitzchak. That's not what happened. Let's say he dies after. So Yitzchak Avinu, when he died, he only had $1 million. So he divided it into three parts. Yanke gets a double share, and Esav gets one share. But what Yitzchak Avinu Yarshin Bekever, after he died, then Avram Avinu dies, then he gets another $1 million. That $1 million, that was Roi. That was not Muchzik. He didn't have that at the time of his death. So Yaakov and Esav divide equally 50-50. Yaakov is not entitled to Pishnai. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim. What about a Halvor? What if Yitzchak lent out money? Yitzchak had the assets. He lent out the money to someone else, but he didn't collect it. And after he dies, then the loiva comes and pays the money. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. We pask, and the milva is also called roi. Milva is not called milsa, milva is called roi. That's a shadow. So what if you have money in a bank? So if you have money in a safe deposit vault, that's a pikud sitting in the bank. So that's mamish muchzak. What if you have money in a savings account, or a checking account? A lot of people leave money in a savings account. So is that considered ro'oi? Because basically it's a halvor. The bank spends the money and they give you ribbis. They promise to give you a certain amount of interest on it. So that should be basically a halvor. So that's a machloikis between the shoyl and the Nodi Behuda. Somebody asked the Nodi Behuda, a halvor that I lent. The Gemara has a machlekes. We said machlekes. Rebbe and the Chachamim, where the halvor is considered roi amuchzak. So we paskin that is considered roi. The bechor doesn't get pishnai. So then the Gemara suggests maybe there's a difference whether the money was lent to a Jew or to a non-Jew. The non-Jew, the two pshatim, in which direction? Which direction is it roi? Which direction is it muchzak? So the pashat the gear says if you lent to a non-Jew, you're not so sure he's going to pay back. Maybe that's right. The Jew is going to be an honest guy. He's probably going to pay back the money. So maybe if he lent to a Jew, maybe then it should be muchzak. So the Gemara says it doesn't make a difference whether he lent to a Jew, he lent to a non-Jew. The other Girsa in the Gemara has it the reverse. That if he lent to a Jew, then it should be ro'ui. Because if he doesn't have any money to pay, you can't sell him as a slave. The pasuk is v'nimka b'nei vasai v'lo b'chovo. There is no debtor's prison. And if a person owes money, person borrowed money, doesn't have money to pay back, there's nothing you can do. You can encourage him to go get a job, but you can't force him to get a job. If he doesn't want to get a job, he's going to just go, there's a bris over here, there's a bris, he goes every day, goes to another bris, he eats over here, goes to a wedding, he sleeps in the park. What do you do? The guy's a bum. He doesn't work for a living, he doesn't have any money to pay back, so there's nothing you can do. If a guy borrows money and it doesn't pay back, so the deed of the Machusa used to be that they would sell him as an eved. That's what it says in Sefer Melachah. that they used to, Taisu says in Avodah Zarah, they used to be done in days of Achav HaRosh, it used to be done with Dina Bnei Noach. So by the Dina Bnei Noach, you can sell a person as a slave. So the other gives it was the reverse, that if you lend the money to a guy, maybe that's called more mukhsa, because if he doesn't pay back the money, you can sell him as a slave. So Gemara says it doesn't make a difference. So the Shoyle and Nadi Behuda says, doesn't make a difference, that's sof kol sof, it's a loan to a private person. But if you have money in the bank, you can come at any time and say you want your money back, and they'll give you all the money. Maybe that should be considered mukhzar. Well, the bank can declare bankruptcy. The bank can also go bankrupt. What if it's federally insured? Or let's say you lent the money to the government. You have government bonds. I lent the money to the government. Well, the government's not going to pay back the money. The government can collapse. Every so often, governments do collapse. But it's so far-fetched. So that was the shayla that they asked the Nadi Behuda. So the shayla was a Talmid Chacham. So the shayla thought that should be considered Muslim. Nadi Behuda thinks that it's not correct. All loans are considered roy, even if it's close to certain that you're going to get your money back. Shabbos, maybe today it's even better, because today I can go to the bank at 3 o'clock at night and I can take out the money. I can't take out the whole $100,000 that I have. I can take out a certain amount of money. So they say that Rav Moshe Feinstein held like the shoyl. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that. And the banks today, even the ribbis is considered mukhsar. Not only the keren that I put in the bank, even all the ribbis that I never had at all, I never had it in my hand at all, it's all considered mukhsar. I think the Aruch HaShulchan also thinks that we should pass them like the shoyl, not like the Nadi Behuda. But others disagree. And they hold, no, Nadi Behuda is right. Based on the Gemara, the Pashtus is like the Nadi Behuda, not like the shoyl. It doesn't depend on the degree of certainty that you're going to get it back. So that's when you get to the Bchor getting Pishnaim. Bchor only gets Pishnaim, the Muchzok v'lo b'rovi. Then the Gemara has a din, Habal Yerush HaSishtoi. The din distinguishes. If the husband dies, the wife does not get the Yerusha. If the wife dies, the husband gets the Yerusha. It's Machlokes HaTanaim, and the Machlokes the Rambam and the Rabban had a Paskin, whether Habal Yerush HaSishtoi is a din d'arais, a din d'rabbanan, Eran Nafkeminis Sebal Nafkeminis Ledina. The Gemara has in Yesh Nechlin, and the end of Bchoris, a few nafkaminas. So it's a machlekes, the Rambam paskins, Habal Yerush HaSishtoi is only a din d'rabbanan, and the Rabban assumes that the din should be Habal Yerush HaSishtoi is a din d'araisa. So thereby, Habal Yerush HaSishtoi, also such a din. The husband only yashins b'muchzok and not b'ro'wi. So what does it mean b'ro'wi? It means the wife died, and after the wife dies, then the father-in-law dies. The father-in-law only had one daughter, the wife. So the wife yashins everything. So the wife yashins bekever to give to the husband. So the din is no. They're not married anymore. The wife died. So the marriage dissolved. The wife died, so they're not married anymore. So ain't about Yerush HaSishtoi b'roi ki b'muchzor. So that's what the Gemara says. The Baal doesn't get b'roi if the father-in-law dies after the wife died. What if the wife had assets? The wife is a big businesswoman, and she lent money to other people, or she had money in the bank in the savings account, and then the wife died. So what about that? We paskan that a halva is also called roi. The Gemara has the machlekes, but the halva is called roi by b'chor getting pishnayim, and the psak halacha is that halva is called roi. Details machlekes, but if it's karv levadai that you're going to collect it, it's a bank federally insured, so that's a machlekes. But what about abal yerush HaSishtoi? So that's a machlokes harishayim, whether it's judged the same way. So Tosfos says in Bchoris and in Bava Basra, Tosfos a few places says it's all the same. Just like by the father, if the father lent out money and he didn't collect it till after he dies, it's called roi. And the Bchoris is not the title of the pishnayim. So Abal Yerush HaSishtoi is the same, and the husband does not yarshin the halvor that was collected later. We know the Rimagash disagrees. Rimagash has a gemara in Bava Kama, where he disagrees. The Rishonim quote, the Rashba quotes the Rimagash. There's a discussion whether the Rambam agrees or disagrees with the Rimagash. So there's a Shaila. Rav Rishonim hold that the husband is not entitled to get the Yerusha of a Halvor. The wife died and she has a fortune of money in her savings account. Does the husband get it? That they were second marriage. So she has children from her first husband. Do the children from the first husband get it? or does the second husband get the Yerusha? So according to the Rin Megash, Alvoa is not called Roy, and the Baal does get. So the din is that the husband does not get. We follow the Rov HaRishon, the husband does not get. What if the husband is muchzik of the money? The husband went to the bank and he took out the money. So can he say, Kimli, if you're muchzik on the money, so the post can have a klal, I can say, I hold, in holchem b'mam and achar haroif, I hold like the minority of Pia, I hold like the Rimagash. So the klali hapsak and shulchan aruch, they say, you can only say, Kimli, if you're muchzik, can say, I hold like that minority opinion. It has to be, if it's a minority, it's one rishon against everybody else, then it's batel mevutel. But if you have at least two significant rishonim, two poskim all like that, then you can say kimli. So here the Beis Shmuel has a discussion in Eben Ezra Siman Ayin. The Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Rin Megash. Not that clear. So do you consider that two shitas, the Rambam and the Rin Megash? So the Beis Shmuel says no, because the Rambam was so in awe of the Rin Megash. The Rambam has a famous line in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. He writes about the Rin Megash, Sichlo Mavis B'chol HaTalmud. He was a super genius. He was just kofuf. The Rambam was Karei Mishtachvet to the Rin Megash. The Rambam's father learned by the Rin Megash. Rin Megash was a Talmud of the Rif. Rin Megash was a Talmud of the Rif in his second... the Rif lived in Fez. Rabbi Yitzchak Alfazi lived in Fez. And then he had to run away to Spain at the age of 75, and he started a new career. And he went on till the age of 90. So the Rin Megash was a Talmud in Spain, in the second career. He's the most outstanding, famous student of the Rif, was the Rin Megash. That was in his second career. In his first career in Morocco, there aren't such famous names like the Rin Megash. He was in Spain. So the Rambam as a child got a brocha. His father, Rabbi Maimon, took the Rambam as a child for a brocha. The Rin Megash gave my bracha, should be matzliach and learning. So he attributed his whole success to the Rin Megash. So he was very enamored of the Rin Megash. He writes, Sichla Mavis B'chol Adam. So that's what the Beis Shmuel writes in Siman Ayin and Eben Ezra. The Rambam was so caught with the Rin Megash, even if it's true what the Magen Mishnah says, that the Rambam agrees with the Rin Megash, it's called the Shita Yechido of the Gamrei, and even if the husband is muchzik on the money, he can't claim later on Kimli. Such a Shita Yechido, you don't apply Kimli over here. But that's the shaila. Let's say the money in the bank, is that considered roya muksa? I remember many years ago, it was the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael. So I was eating by a Danish Finkel, who was at that time one of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Miri Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So there was a whole din Torah, the big Bati Dinim used to be in Tel Aviv at that time. I don't think they still are. So there was a whole din Torah. The chief rabbi at that time was Rabbi Unterman, and his wife had passed away, and it was a Zivik Sheni. Her first husband was Reb Shlomo Hyman, who was the Rosh Hashim in Torah Vedas. So the wife passed away, and she had a lot of money in bank accounts. So the shaila was whether the bank account, whether the Rav Unterman is entitled to get the Yerusha. She had a fortune of money in the banks. Is he entitled to get the money? So he was a big joker, Rabbeinish Finkel. So when they came to Rabbeinish to talk about the case, so he says in Yiddish, he was a character, so he points to me, he says, he has smicha. Ask him, he's a rabbi. I don't have any smicha. So they showed me the official documents, they covered over the names, but they had the name 10 times on the same page. It was just covered over the names. So it was clear that it was Chief Rabbi Unterman had this in Torah. So I said that according to many, the money in the bank is milva, so the husband is not entitled to get the Yerusha from the wife. It should be considered a milva. That's the shaila. Where the money in the bank today, the banks are federally insured, but the money in the banks, is you can get it anytime. You walk in. The Moshe was of the opinion that Kerem with the ribbis, everything is considered muksa, like the shoyl and the chuvas nadiyu. Anyway, so we know what the dinim are. The dinim are very clear. Maybe we should say dinim the machusa dinim. We live in America, so we should follow Din the Machusa. So there were two Rabbanim in the same generation, were known with the same Rosh Tevis, Mari Tatz. One was Rabbi Yontov Tzahalon, who lived in Tzvat, and the other one was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak. He was a Rav in Greece. So they say that the Mekubalim said that Min HaShamayim, they wanted one of the three Rabbeinu Yosefs to write a Sefer Psak, Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Yosef Taitat Tzak, and I forgot who the third one was. Min HaShamayim, they chose Rabbi Yosef Karo, who's going to write the Shulchan Aruch. So he was a Maritatz. Rabbi Yosef Taitat Tzak was a famous Pesach in Europe. Later he was in Constantinople. First he was in Greece, then he was in Constantinople. And a contemporary of his, Rabbi Yosef Tzalon, he became famous. He was a young child when Beis Yosef was alive, and then he became famous. The Beis Yosef had two sons. One of the sons died leaving no children. So the wife needed Yibum. By the Ashkenazim, they practice Yibum. So the wife needed Yibum. So the Sephardim practice Yibum, yeah. So the brother wanted to do Yibum. The surviving brother wanted to do Yibum. But the girl was a sister of Rab Chaim Vital. Her name was Simcha Vital. The girl's name, Simcha Vital. So the father told her she shouldn't agree to Yibum because the brother, the other son of Rab Yosef Kara, had already been married. He had another wife. And she's going to be the second wife. He said, he's not going to treat you nicely. He's going to treat you like a maid. So the girl insisted she wants chalitza, and the boy insisted he's going to be Yibum. So it was a stalemate. Nothing happened. So someone recommended to the girl that she should spit in front of the boy. And the Gemara says, Yivam Shirokaka Tachlots. The rikika is always done at the end of the chalitza. So the Gemara says, if the Yivama started the chalitza backwards, she started with the rikika. So even though the rikika, nothing was accomplished yet, there's a chumra mid the Rabbanan, that people all know that the rikika comes at the end, so think that she just finished the chalitza, then he's not allowed to do yibum. Once you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum. So that's a loshan agmar. Yivam shiroka got tachlut. So someone told the girl. So one day, on a Monday or Thursday morning, they were davening shachris in the Beis HaKnesses, so Arizal, whatever. One of those shuls there. There's no room for women there. There's only a man. So the girl tiptoes in. She walks over to the brother-in-law, she spits on the floor, she tiptoes out. People thought that she lost her mind. So the rabbi said, that's it, now we're going to trust the Yavam to do chalitza, because the din is givam shiraka katachlos. So the Marit Tzahalon was a young man, he was a teenager. He wrote a whole tshuva disagreeing with the rabbi. The rabbi forced the Yavam to do chalitza. So the Marit Tzahalon said, he had the right to force him, the whole thing was a mistake. And he became famous because of that tshuva, because he was right. And the girl remained at Agudah, because he passed on the chalitza, was no good, he didn't want to do another chalitza, he didn't do Yibum. So she was stuck for life. Anyway, so this Maritz Alon writes in one of his tshuvas, they just published from Kisva Yad, published, Mechon Yerushalayim published a lot of his tshuvas recently, 40 years ago, okay, during my lifetime. So he has a tshuva where he writes, he was sent as a teenager to the Arab countries bordering on Eretz Yisrael to explain to the Balabatim that we don't follow Dina de Malchusa with respect to Yerusha. Dina de Malchusa only applies when at least one of the parties is a non-Jew. But if all the parties involved are Jewish, a shayla of Yerusha, whether the husband Yarshins or the children Yarshin or the sons and the daughters Yarshin equally, whatever, so all the parties involved are Jewish, if Dina de Malchusa doesn't apply. The Ramah quotes this from the Tshuvas HaRashba. If you're going to follow Dina Machusa, you can put away the whole Choshem Mishpat, the whole Seder Nezikin, just ignore everything. Dina Machusa doesn't apply. According to the Rambam, there's an additional reason why Dina Machusa shouldn't apply. The Rambam has a drosha, we don't know where he got it from, the Parshas Yerusha starts of Oysos Aslachem L'chukas Mishpat. So the word chukah usually means a chok, Yisavahetah. Mishpat usually means Dina Mamanis. So the Rambam has a drosha. It's not in the Gemara. We don't know what the source is. Rambam says, even though Yerusha is a matter of dollars and cents, it's a topic of Mishpat, the Imamanis, the Torah treats it as if it were Chukah. You have to treat it as if it were Isa Vehetah. So the Rambam says, therefore, Masna Mashikasa Batorah is not valid. We pass the Masna Mashikasa Batorah, the Isa Vehetah, Tanoi Bottle, and Medovashim Imaman, Tanoi Kaim. So Yerusha should be Dovashim Imaman. So the Mishnah says, Masna Mashikas, but there is no good in Yerusha. So the Rambam explains why, because the Torah calls it Chukah. Even though it's Mamanis, it's called Chukah, you treat it like Yisavet. Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a big fat sefer Medrash HaGadol has drushes as if it's by the Tanoim. So there, it has this drusha there. So some said, oh, the Rambam got it from the Medrash HaGadol. Rav Soloveitchik said over that those who published the Medrash HaGadol think the whole Medrash HaGadol was taken from the Rambam, not that the Rambam took it from the Medrash HaGadol. That's not the source of the Rambam. They don't know where the source is. So that's an additional reason why perhaps you should say we don't apply din in the Malchus HaDina because all the parties involved are Jewish. And number two, it could be that we treat Yerusha like Yisrael had. Such a Taisus in Ksubas also says like that. That even though it's dollars and cents, we treat it as if it were Yisrael had.
You can't change the rules of it because Matna Alasha comes from the Torah. What does Rosh Hashiva mean when you were saying before that you should give girls and boys equally?
Right. So the way to do it is you have to make kinyonim. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I have 9 children, I have 3 sons, and I have 6 daughters. I assume the daughters will feel hurt if I'm going to leave them out. I'm going to give all of my millions, I teach them, why you? Give all the billions to all of my sons, the daughters are going to be left out. So the daughters are going to feel bad. So you have to give an equal share to the daughters. So how do you give an equal share? How do I know how much money I'm going to have when I die? I have another 50 years to go. So how much money am I going to have when I die? So I'm not going to have more than $9 million, I don't think. Maybe I will. I'm not going to have more than $18 million. So I make a shtar his chayvis now. I obligate myself to give each one of my 9 children $2 million. So by the time I die, I'm not going to have $18 million. So they have. So nobody gets any Yerusha. There's nothing left for Yerusha. Everybody's just collecting the his chayvis. I owe each one of the children $2 million. But that's a risky thing. I'm going to obligate myself to give. What am I going to do? They're going to come and they want the money today. They're going to come and they say they want the money today. So I say, I obligate myself to give you $2 million the day that I die. So they can't come before. So that's a problem. That's called Ein Breira. There's a machlokes in the Gemara with the Yesh Breira. Ein Breira, different opinions out of Pasuk. In a long run, in the first daf in Perek Hashutzim and Edorim, the Ran quotes the 3 opinions. One opinion we pass in Yesh Breira, one opinion we pass in Ein Breira, and the third opinion, that's the way we pass in. With respect to Dinim Daraisa, Ein Breira, with respect to Dinim Rabban Yesh Breira. So an example of Breira is this. I say a husband is married, he doesn't have any children. He loves his wife and he doesn't want her to have to go through Chalitza. He knows his brother is a miserable person, brother's going to give her a hard time. So he gives his wife a get. But he gives his wife a get, so he can't live with the wife in the same apartment. It's an Issa Yichud. So he says, the get should be chal the day before I die. 2 hours before I die. So after he dies, then you'll know when 2 hours before was. So the Gemara says, that's called Ein Breira. If you don't know when the get is chal, that's called Ein Breira. So the same thing over here. If the guy's going to say, I obligate myself, as of now, I owe each one of my 9 children $2 million. So when I die, I'm not going to have $18 million. So they're gonna collect equally. No one's gonna get anything, Birush. Everybody's gonna be collecting the debt. So I'm afraid they're gonna come and they're gonna ask for the money today. So I say I accept the obligation should be chal the day before I die. So they won't know till after I die when the obligation was chal. So the Ramah says in Chosh Mish, but that's not valid because Ein Breira. So the Ramah says, but the way to solve the problem is the following. He say, I obligate myself to give each one of the children $2 million immediately, but they only have the right to collect it the day before I die. So even though that's also Ein Breira, even though it should also be Ein Breira, so we rely on the Ran and the Dorm. That long Ran in the beginning of Perek HaShutfim has a Chiddush. It's a difficult Chiddush, but that's what he says, La'alocha. He say, Ein Breira on the main aspect. He say, Ein Breira. If I would say, I obligate myself to his Chayvah should be chal the day before I die, that's Ein Breira. But if I say the Chayvus is Chal right away now, just the Schus Egviya should only begin the day before I die. So that's only a detail. It's a major detail. Whether you have the right to collect or not, it's a major detail. But since it's only a detail, so then we say Yesh Breira. On the details, we say Yesh Breira. That's what the Ran says on the first daf in Perek HaShut. So the Ramah has that system. So that's what you have to do here. So the person should make out a secular will. That the second will says all the sons and the daughters are yarshining equally, and then he should, but that won't be recognized by the halacha, because din al-machus din doesn't apply here because all the parties involved are Jewish. So then he has to make a hiskaibus, has to obligate himself to give each one of the 9 children an amount of money, the same amount, so they won't kill each other, won't be angry at the father, won't be angry at each other. If he thinks he's not going to have $9 million, so let him obligate each child $1 million. Thinks he's going to have maybe more than 9 million, not going to have 18 million, so let him obligate himself to each one of the children $2 million. Yeah. Do you really need all of this? Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva. The father left the world, and he says, I want the children to divide equally. Isn't that kibbutz aviyim? So Rabbi Kivega thinks that it is binding him in time kibbutz aviyim, but the Gemara says, you're not koyf on kibbutz aviyim. Kibbutz aviyim is a mitzvah says, shematn tzchor betzidon. It says, on the seres adibras, man yarichon yamechon. So the Gemara has a klal in the beginning of Kol HaBasa, Per Kol HaBasa and Chulman. A Kol Mitzvah says, Shematan Tzchor B'tzida, and Bezo Shalmat the Koyf Malasa. Unfortunately, when it comes to Yerushas, even if they're only fighting about $5, they'll be killing each other. They're not going to honor their father. They're not going to listen to what their father said. So you have to do something that should be binding in court. They're just going to say, Mentam Kibir Aliyim, a lot of times that won't happen. If the children are nice children, Moshe Feinstein made a secular will in Shai, but his children are nice. For different reasons, we'll get to Rav Moshe's opinion. So, other people, Rav Soloveitchik made a secular will, and he thought the children would not kill each other. I haven't heard. They probably didn't kill each other. Okay. So they listened to his will. The Kivega raises a possibility. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Kedushin, Kibbutz Av is Mishalav, Elo Mishal Bein. Let's say my father passed away. Right? Let's say my father says to me, I'd like to go tour Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, give me your credit card and I'll make all the arrangements. He says, no, keep it out of aim. Your credit card. You pay. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the Gemara has a discussion. Keep it out of Mishalav, Allah Mishal Beit. The father is mukhif to spend the money. If the father has money, he can't say to the son, keep it out, you should pay for the trip and you should pay for the hotel and everything. If the father doesn't have money, then it's a different story. Then you are koy for the bed. Whatever, Tom Stock or whatever. But if the father has money, Rabbi Kivega raises a possibility. Here, the father left the tzavoah. He wants all the children to yarshan equally. He leaves a secular will, and then he dies. And once he dies, all the money goes to the sons. So now the father left the tzavoah. He wants the daughters to get an equal share with the sons. So that's mishal bein. That's not mishalav. The sons have to give away their money to the sisters. So Reb Kivega thinks that that's not correct. The money now belongs to the father. So he said, this is Kibbutz Mishalav. The father's saying now, while he owns all the money, that after he dies, he wants the children to divide it equally. So that is Kibbutz Mishalav, and the children are mechuyev to listen. The only thing is, that when it comes to Yerushas, people, even if during their lifetime they got along together, comes to Yerushas, a lot of times you have big machloikas, and so the din is that you're not koyf on Kibbutz. So you have to have something that you'll be koyf on. So Moshe Feinstein has a fantastic chiddush, which most of the poskim have not accepted. Moshe has two parts to his tshuva. It's not even a separate tshuva. He tacked it on the end of another tshuva as if it's so insignificant. It's kula mechudish. The whole tshuva is mechudish. So he's the first half of the tshuva. He says he brings a lot of rayas. The Chazanish has a lot of rayas. The Rashash has also a lot of rayas to this. Whenever there's a very strong indication that there's a strong miras das, you can accomplish a kinyan without any need for a maisa kinyan. Dvar ma'niknim ba'mira. Whenever there's a strong indication that there's clearly, so if a man makes out a secular will, the government will only recognize a secular will. You can stand on your head. They're not going to accept anything. The last will and testament, whichever will has the later date, the last will and testament. So if the father made out a secular will, even though Pidin, that's not a kinyan. The halacha doesn't recognize that as a kinyan. And Din and Machusa doesn't apply because all the parties involved are Jewish. So nonetheless, since we know that the government will only recognize this secular will, so that indicates that there's a strong miras das, and you don't need any maisa kinyan. But the question is, but the father writes in the will, I bequeath. I bequeath in English means, I leave Birusha after I die. So there's a din, en kinyan lahamisa. En kinyan lahamisa. Let's say, I plan to move to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not going to be here in September. So I sell you the house. I live in an apartment. I'll sell you the house as of September 1st. And then I die in August. So the house says, when it comes September 1st, the house doesn't belong to me. So the Gemara says, "En kinyan lahamisa," doesn't work. See, if the father writes in the will, "I bequeath," that's how every secular will begins. I leave after I die; it should go to them. So, fine that you don't need a ma'aser kinyan. This is such a strong miras das that you don't need a ma'aser kinyan. It's dvar ma'niknim amira. But he says he wants the kinyan to take place after he dies, because ma'aser he's alive. There's no kinyan. En kinyan lahamisa. The Moshe comes up with the first half of what he said. So the Chazanish quotes Gemaras, and the Rashash quotes Gemaras, and the Moshe quotes Gemaras. That's acceptable. Chazanish quotes this from his father. Father was a Rav also. Father brought a lot of rice. That whenever there's a very strong indication, very strong Miras Das, you don't need a Mice Kinyan. But the second half of what he said was, En Kinyan Lahamisa means, if I sell you the house as of September 1st, and I die August 15th, so after August 15th, the house doesn't belong to me. But if I make up with you, the house belongs to me as long as I'm alive. And the minute that I die, it doesn't belong to me. It should go to you. There's no violation of Ein Kinyan LaHamisa. The Pashtus is that it's against the Gemaras. So Dayan Grosnas, he used to be a Dayan of London, label Grosnas. He learned in Radnan, same time as Rabbi Gerelik, same time as Dr. Belkin. So he was friendly with the Rebbe's here in the yeshiva years ago. So he has the modern style tshuvas. He learned Baruch Ber, so he quotes Rav Baruch Ber in the tshuvas, and he has Litvisha style tshuvas, modern style tshuvas. He has a whole essay about this. Most accept what he wrote. Most reject what Moshe said. En kinyan lahamisa not only applies if there's a gap. He dies on August 15th, and then he wants the kinyan to take place on September 1st. Even if he says, "Kol zman I'm alive, it should belong to me, and after I die, it should go to you," that's also a violation of En kinyan lahamisa. So the pashtus is that it's not really accepted. Yeah, what do we need the whole story for? Why don't you just say the Gemara has mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis? The Gemara says, mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis. So if the father said, "I want to give all the children equally," so that should be binding. So the Tosfos in Gittin, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, many years ago, when I was 13 years old, Rabbi Tendler sent a whole group of boys to learn a Lakewood. I was the youngest from the group. I was only 13. I had learned in Rabbi Tendler's class that year, first year of high school. The other boys were older than me. So we learned there, we only learned in Lakewood, I think 3 weeks, and they kicked us all out. And we learned Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. We learned one blood Gemara, Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. We had special shiurim from Rabbi Feivelson, who lives in Muncie. He's not well now for many years. He gave special shiurim for the guests from YU. Anyway, so there's a Tosfos in Gittin that I learned in Lakewood. Tosfos says, there are so many Gemaras that seem to contradict this rule, that you don't say mitzvah the kind of Gemaras. So somehow it must be restricted. It cannot apply in all cases. Whenever a person said something about what to do with the money after he dies, you always have to fulfill what he said. It wouldn't appear so. So the Tosfos says, and it's quoted l'alocha chosh mishpat, you only apply mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis of hushlash mitchila l'kach. If I gave over $6 million to you, and I said after I die, I want you to give $1 million to each one of my six daughters, the hushlash mitchila l'kach, I gave it over. Or let's say I put the money in a trust account. I put the money in six different trust accounts for this daughter, for that daughter, for the other daughter. So the other daughters, even if it's irrevocable, there are two types of trust, irrevocable, irrevocable. Even if it's a revocable trust fund, if I gave you the $6 million, and then I live another 20 years, and I say, "Give me back the money," you got to give it back. It's always revocable. And still the halacha says that that's called hushel shmetchilu l'kach. So Tosfos restricts it. That's the way we assume the Shulchan Aruch. You only apply mitzvah the kind there amei, so it was hushel shmetchilu l'kach. If you gave the money over, didn't give it over, it doesn't apply. Rav Chaim Oizer has a tshuva, Chayla Gimel of Achiyazah, this is number 6 in the Ma'amar Tanis. He has a chiddush. It says that by Hegdish we have a Mishnah in Kiddushin on Daf Chav Ches that Amirasa la'gavoya kimsirasa la'hedyadami. If you want to give metaltalim to someone else, you want to sell mechira, give him matona metaltalim, the lekeach or the mekaba maton has to make a kinyan hagboah. So if I declare, I hereby declare that the chair should belong to Hegdish, Amirasa la'gavoya is kimsirasa la'hedyad. If I would have done misirat to Abbas of Adam, and he would be kind of b'hagbom, and mishicha b'yad b'chatz, whatever, he would be kind of samirasa la'gavoya, is kmisirasa lehadyadami. So there was a big machlokes in the 1500s between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah. They lived in two different continents. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramah lived in Krakow, in Poland. It's the same continent. It's connected. Europe, Asia, Africa, Eretz Yisrael connects all the three. That's why they were always, all the countries were always fighting. Who's going to have control of Eretz? Whoever has control of Eretz basically has control of all the three continents. That's why the Nazis wanted very much the control of Eretz. That's when they started to lose the war. When they were trying to take over Eretz Yisrael, that was the beginning of the end when they lost the whole war. So there was a machlokes, they corresponded with each other. A man took a neder to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, and he died before he had a chance to pay up the chayv. So the din is that meisim chavshim. Once you die, you can't fulfill any mitzvah. So your children will not accomplish anything if they'll give the money to tzedakah on your behalf. Once you're dead, you're dead. You put them in a mitzvah. But the machlokes was, maybe I should say, amirasa lagavaya with respect to tzedakah. The original Mishnah, amirasa lagavaya, in Kiddushin Dav Chavches is lagavaya, the hegdush. Amirasa lagavaya. Do you say amirasa lagavaya by tzedakah also? Then I pledge to give this amount of money. So there's nishtabdu hanachosim, and even after I die, they can collect based on the shib nachosim. And maybe I should say no. Amirasa lagavaya is only gavaya. It doesn't apply to tzedakah. So Rabbi Yosef Karo held that it does apply to tzedakah, and the Ramah wrote a tshuva. They corresponded with each other. It does not apply. So usually we assume that Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. Whenever the machlokes is the machaber and Ramah, Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. So Rabbi Chaim Moizer assumes not so over here. Rabbi Chaim Moizer, you look in the Pischei Tshuva Chashem Mishpat, but he also quotes the Chasam Sefer. They all assume Amiros HaLegavah does apply to tzedakah. There was such a case in recent years. There was a man who had a son and a daughter, and he pledged on Rosh Hashanah. He gave a pledge to give the local yeshiva, who was out of town, it wasn't America. He gave a pledge to give the local yeshiva some large sum of money, then he died before he had a chance to pay the money. So he had a son and a daughter. So the son is not yet observant. So the son wasn't going to honor the father's pledge to give money to the yeshiva, wasn't interested. But the son didn't know that he gets the whole Yerusha, the daughter doesn't get. So he gave half of the father left a lot of money. So he gave half the money to the sister. So the shaila was, is the sister mechuyev to give that amount of money to the tzedakah? Do you say, amirasa lagavaya, so nishtabda hanachasim? So she has to give half the amount, the brother has to give half the amount. The brother's not going to give, so maybe she's mechuyev to give the full amount. Maybe she's mechuyev to give half the amount. Maybe not mechuyev to give anything. Maybe you don't say, amirasa lagavaya, kem siyasa lagavaya. So we were tumbling about it. The husband of the daughter learns here in the yeshiva. A prominent individual. So Rabbi Moshe Weiss was asked the shaila, so he wrote all tshuva to me. I wasn't involved. He said, we're Ashkenazim, we paskin like the Ramah, that there's no mirasa lebar by tzedakah, therefore she's not mechuyev to give anything, but the yosher dictates that she should give it. Why not? Why? She gave the money to tzedakah. She's going to give it anyway. She gave the money anyway. But that's a question whether that's really true. The Chasam Sefer quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, Rav Chaim Moizer, they both assume that we have accepted the sheet of the Beis Yosef. We don't accept the Ramah. We assume Amirasa Lugavah does apply to tzedakah. Because there's another din of Hegdish that carries over to tzedakah. It's a machlokes, and Yipaskan does carry over. Called Nadiv Leboilus Aviu. The Gemara says when a person makes a neder, Goma Belibo, Tzoch Lahotz of his fossil. If you made a neder in your mind, it's not binding unless you pronounced it with your lips, because it says in this week's Sedra, Ochola Sheibate Hod Namashvur. Nebish Kisishova Levate Bisosai. You have to have Bitus Vasai. Goma Belibo is not called a neder. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule, that even though it's in Yoni Haflot Schalbe Machshove, one is Afrashas Truma. Because it says in the end of Parshas Korach, "V'nechshav lachem chumaschem, chumani telos b'machshovim." And the other exception to the rule is that hegdush korbanus is chal b'machshovim, because it's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim called in Div Leivoilus Eviu. Whoever was menade belibo to bring a korban oila brought it. So the question is, if they make an appeal in shul, And during the appeal, I made up my mind, I'm going to give $1,000. I never said anything. I made up my mind, I'm going to give $1,000. Then before I make out the check, I change my mind. I'll give him $18 instead of $1,000. So do you say, just like kol neniv levoedus aviu, goma belibo is binding by hegdish, that's by gavoya, does that carry over to tzedakah or not? So the Ramah paskins, yes. The Ramah both in Choshem Mishpat and in Yeridei Hilchas Tzedakah paskins that a neder tzedakah belev is binding. So in other words, you are treating tzedakah like gavoya, treat tzedakah like hegdish. So it should perhaps follow that Amirasa Lagarak and Sarasa Lahed Yadami should also apply to tzedakah, like Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote, and Afkas Rechon, and the Tshuva is not like the Tshuva Saramah. So that's what Rabbi Chaim Loiza assumes. That was the classical poskim assumed like that. That's the Sam Sefer also assumes like that. Rabbi Moshe Weiss assumes not so. He assumes we're Ashkenazim and we follow the Ramah. So Rabbi Chaim Loiza has interesting. He says the din of mitzvah lekayim divrei Ramos only applies hushlosh mitchila lekach. So a lot of times people make a will and they leave money to tzedakah in the will. So the question is that binding? They didn't make any kinyonim. And mitzvah l'kam d'ibra meis only applies if hushalish ben t'chila l'kach. He didn't give over the $100,000 to give to the yeshiva. He didn't give over while he was alive. Just left it in the will. So Rabbi Chaim Moses says, writes, since the din is amirasa la gavoya kim sirasa la hedyot applies to tzedakah, so it's considered kim sirasa la hedyot, so it's as if hushalish ben t'chila l'kach. Since Amirasa Legavaya is like Mesira Lehedyod, so that has its status of Hushlish Matri Lelekach. That is a Chiddush. After Rabbi Moshe passed away, they published a collection of additional tshuvas. During his lifetime, he published 3 volumes of tshuvas, and after he died, they published more. Interesting. The tshuvas that he published were edited. He edited the tshuvas. They left out, he says, send regards to this one, and the Rebbetzin is not feeling well, and the Dayan is not feeling well. He writes all kinds of sightings in the tshuvas that he published himself. He edited them, left out all the things that had not been gave l'aloch. And in the tshuvas, the additional collection of tshuvas, they didn't want to edit it, so they put everything in. So you have history there, a little bit of history there. So one of these additional tshuvas that were printed after he died, he has this suggestion. There is a din of din in the Malchus Adina to say that if a person dies and the din in Malchus says that sons and daughters yarshin equally, so that we don't apply, all the parties involved are Jewish. What if I went to court, I filled out a secular will, and they registered the will? What do they call it? I think register the will, whatever they call it. It was given, handed into the court. So that's another din of din al-machus ad-din. There's a din, you're not allowed, whenever you have two Jews have a court case, you're not allowed to go to secular court. It's an isra course. But let's say it's not a court case. I want to sell you a house. And we go to the secular court and we write it down. I'm selling you the house. And I made a kinyan according to the din of the Malchusa. So since it was approved by the court, so the halacha says that din al-machus accomplishes the kinyan. So that's Rabbi Chaim Moshe raised the possibility. If a person wrote a secular will, and the secular will was registered in court, he didn't do an aveira of arkoes. That's the minig America. Everybody, they didn't go to court for a discussion. He registered his last will and testament in the court. So it could be that we should apply din al-machus in such a case, and the money should belong to the daughters or to whoever he picked out. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe is not sure about that. It could be. Then Dan Grosnas quotes this and he discusses this. Maybe it's only if they actually, after the person died, they actually went to court. And the court decided that he should get this and he should get this. Maybe if they didn't go to court, maybe it doesn't yet apply. That's a discussion that he's not so sure. So the Maisa, what's the practice now? Practice is when a person reaches the age of 50, he makes out a will. One of my relatives married Rabbi Gifter's son. So she says she remembers when Rabbi Gifter celebrated his 50th birthday. So he told the children that he made out a will. So she says, What is he so morose? He's only 50. He thinks he's going to die. So he says, just following what it says in the poskim. The poskim say, when a person reaches the age of 50, he should make out a will based on the remes from the pasuk. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, when it comes yovel, if you sold the stay achuza to someone else, and by him it's a stay mikdas, when it comes yom kippur of shei yovel, you get it back. When it comes yom kippur of yovel, toshuvu isha lachuzasa, whoever had a stay achuza gets it back. So the achrenim say it's a remes that when a person reaches the age of 50, you should consider the fact that you're going to return to your maker, toshuvu isha lachuzasa, you're going to die sometime, and you should make out a will. So Taka, after Rabbi Gifta passed away, he left in his Savoya that the children should follow everything that, if they have a shayla in Hilchos Avelos, they should follow everything that it says in the Sefer, Chaim Avrochon and Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom was printed around 100 years ago. Mishmer Shalom is a chibur on the Prima Gadim, on Yeridei. Today people don't learn Prima Gadim, so there's no use for the Mishmer Shalom. But the Mishmer Shalom is a fantastic chibur, a commentary on the Prima Gadim, which is a commentary on the Shach and the Taz. So in addition to the Mishmer Shalom, he wrote two svarim that are called Chaim Avrochon and Mishmer Shalom. One has Hilchos Avelos alphabetically arranged, one has Hilchos Dalad Minim alphabetically arranged. And he was a big Paisik Mefursim, so he quotes every Rishon, every Yachman that he had available. At the time he quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes the Or Sameach, he quotes the Marsham, quotes things that he heard. He lived in that, he died around 100 years ago. So in the Sefer Chaim Avrochon, the Mishmer Shalom, alphabetically arranged, on the Tzavua, he quotes this from the Achrayim, that when a person reaches the age of 50, he should make out a will. So when he makes out the will, that's the way we do it. You make out a secular will, you give all your 9 children equal share. And then you have to make kinyonim. So you want to make sure that that everyone will get an equal share. So you say, you figure out how much money do you think you're going to have at the time that you die. You have 9 children, you're not going to have $9 million. You think you're going to have $9 million, you're not going to have $18 million. Obligate yourself to give each one of these children either $1 million or $2 million. So sure, everything will be divided. If you have a pchor, you got to give the pchor a pishnayim. So what you can do is the following. You can say, I obligate myself to give each one of my children $1 million, not collectible to the day before I die. It's collectible now. They'll empty me out. I won't have any money. And then you say, and all of my assets should be meshubed for this, except for $100,000 that should be divided according to Hilchos Yerusha. Okay? So then the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim, and the Pshutim will get their share on that. Whatever they're all going to collect based on the Hischaibus that I made, that's going to be to pay up the Chaibus, so the Bechor is not going to get the Pishnayim on everything. I'll get a limited Pishnayim. Someone called me up last year. A rabbi called me up. It was a boy who learned here in the Kollel. His father was a wealthy man. Could be the father still alive, I don't know. The father was a wealthy man. And when he got married, the boy broke off all the contact with the father. He didn't call to say, good Shabbos, good Yontif, a good Yor, Tzivach, Simata, nothing. He had children, he didn't invite the father to the bris, the father and mother, nothing. And the father was a wealthy man who could have supported him in learning for the rest of his life. Nebuch the kid was under the influence of a Meshuggah, who was a Novi Asheker, it was a whole story. The guy convinced him. The kid was missing a couple of marbles, so he picked out the rest of the marbles, and he convinced him that he had Ruach HaKodesh, and the kid was listening to everything that he had. This was unfortunately a whole parsha. I remember the kid walked over to me one day, he was going to kill me in a base medrash. So he got smicha and he moved on. He disappeared. So the father, last year, was talking to the rabbi in his shul. He had such aggravation from the son. He has other children. He wanted to leave him out from his will. So the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to be mava nachla. It's not the proper thing. Avuri achasanta is not proper. Even me brought bisha, the brought tav, even if one son is not such a good son, the other sons are better, the Gemara says still it's not the right thing to do. Because maybe the son, the Brabisha, the bad son, maybe he'll have children, grandchildren, he'll be nice. Yeah, but the Sma writes on the Choshem Mishpah, when they have this din, he shouldn't be Mava Nachla. It's an Issa, the father shouldn't be Mava Nachla, and if he makes out such a will, you shouldn't be the Sefer, you shouldn't type it up, you shouldn't be the lawyer, and you shouldn't be the aid. You shouldn't have anything to do. The son is going to be Mava Nachla. The Gemara gives a story that one of the Tanoim, this Mancha Beis Hamikdash Hayikam, Yossi Ben Yoezer, was very upset. He was a big Tana, and he wanted his son to become a big Tana. His son became a businessman, a nice religious businessman. So the father, Yosef Ben Yair, was so upset. So before he died, he was magdish all of his assets to tzedakah. How much assets did he have? 25 dollars. How much? What did he have? He was a tana. Didn't have any money. So he donated his $25 to the Beis Hamikdash. Then the Gemara says, and they were pleading with him, he's not allowed to do that. He shouldn't do that. The other tanaim, he didn't listen to them. He violated the din of Abur Yachasanta. Then the Gemara tells that the son later on one occasion, donated much more money to Hegdash than the father ever did. The Tosis in Kiddush and Daf Chav Tesam Ralef talks about that Gemara with Yosef Ben Yazir. But Amir Asa L'Gavoya, there's that discussion about the details of Amir Asa L'Gavoya. So when they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, Afilim B'Brav Bishal B'Atava, the father was upset, Yosef Ben Yazir was upset. His son had an opportunity to become a Tana. And he became a balabas. That's not right to be Mava Nachla because of that. What if the son is a misery? He didn't tell the father about the bris and the bar mitzvah and the pidyah ben. Nothing. He didn't call the father to say the chap. Such aggravation. So that's different if he caused aggravation to the father. So then this ma says that the father has a right to cut him out from the Yerusha. Unfortunately. But otherwise it's not right. Otherwise it's not right. Is it right to leave money for tzedakah in your will? So that's what the Sefer Chaim Avraham Mishmer Shalom, he quotes the Achronim do recommend like that. They say, and it's even recommended that the money, if it's possible, the money should be distributed before the Kvura. A lot of times that's too difficult. But they say, based on Psukim, that more correct is you should distribute the money to the Tzedakah before the Kvura takes place. It's a schus for the Nifta. There was a wealthy Balabas. I have the Fink chair in Talmud. I have the first chair that they ever had in Yeshiva. I remember when they told me, Israel Miller was the vice president at that time, they told me they established a chair, they're going to give me the money. I said, why don't you make Rabbi Soloveitchik the recipient of the chair? I said, no, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he's okay. They want to give it whoever's the head of the kollel. So officially, I have the Fink chair. So the Finks were religious balabatim. They used to daven a Rabbi Lukstein Shul. They were Yekis. Mr. Fink was a Yekka, and he said he would like to give all the Rebbe's a lot of money, but he doesn't have, so he's going to give one Rebbe, the money. So they didn't have any children. So after they died, they left in their tzavut, left money for YU, left for Lubavitch, they left for the conservative seminary, and that was disputed in court, because he was an Orthodox man. So that the conservative didn't get the money. Because they said in court he didn't know what he was talking, he didn't know what he was doing when he agreed to give the money to the seminary. If he would have realized that the Jews he allowed to accept is conservative, he certainly had not given money. So they lost their money. And why you got the money? Why you got the money? They were asking me, did I know Mr. Fink? Was he in his right mind? Sorry, he was right mind. He used to come to my shiur. He used to give a weekly shiur. And Rabbi Lukstein Shul used to come to the shiur and he understood what was going on. He was in his right mind. He gave the money to YU, he knew what he was doing. He gave the money to the Babbage also, he knew what he was doing. He gave the money to the seminary. That wasn't him at all. So I remember when he died, so he didn't have any children, and he had relatives. So the relatives were upset why he gave away all of his money, so much money to charity. So one of them published a whole essay, maybe in the RJJ Journal, I forgot, but one of the Torah journals in English, that's not right. That's not right to leave money to charity. You should give the money while you're alive, and if you didn't give it while you're alive, you shouldn't leave it in Tzavah. Because they were upset why he gave all the money to charity, why he didn't leave the money for them. So Dr. Lehm was very upset. He was afraid people are going to stop giving money to the yeshiva. So he asked me to send in a letter to the editor to explain that that's not the Psak Halacha, which I did. It's not right. The fellow who wrote the article for them, the ghostwriter who wrote the article for them, that it's not right to give money to charity in your tzavaya, just quoted all the marmakarmas from the Chaim Avraham and the Mishmar Shalom, and he left out those marmakarmas that were against his interests. I just said, the same place where he gathered all the other marmakarmas, if he would quote the next line, you would see that was always the practice, that he always did leave money. How much money are you allowed to give away to not allowed to leave anything for tzedakah? No, they practice, they always left money to tzedakah. So why is that not a violation of Aburiya Hasanto? So some poskim are of the opinion you have to leave 51% for the Yorshim and 49% you can give to tzedakahs. Yosef ben Yezir left all of his $25 to Hegdash, to the Beis HaMikdash. Still, it's a violation of Aburiya Hasanto. But if he would have left $13 for the son and $12 given to the Beis HaMikdash, if the Reiv would have been for the son, so that's what some poskim say is okay. That's Rabbi Chaim Lichot Tkachinsky wrote this Svarim Gesher Achaim. So he writes that you have to leave Reiv for the Yorshim, and a miyut you can give away to Tzedakah, that's okay. And then his son wrote that when his father passed away, Rabbi Chaim Lichot Tkachinsky passed away, that's what he did. He had probably $25. He sold a couple of volumes of Gesher Achaim. So he made a few dollars, had $100, whatever. So he left $51 for the son, and the $49 he gave away to tzedakah. And then as he was dying, he gave instructions, they should open the window and light a candle. Everything as he writes in his sefer. He was fully aware when he passed away, and he made a tzavah according to what he wrote in the sefer, and he gave everything the way he wrote in the sefer. So that's his opinion. The poskim have not accepted that opinion. The Pischei Tshuva in Choshem Ishpot, when there's a similar about Aburiya Hasanto, quotes the Chasam Sofer, that it's not necessary to leave 51%. That's a guy's a multimillionaire. He has to leave 51% to the ocean. What do they need so much money for? Let them work for a living. So the Chasam Sofer says you should leave some significant amount of money. So the Ktzais quotes Tshuvas Agoinim, that as long as you leave some ridiculous amount, like $4 or something, based on a Mishnah in the middle of Ktzuvas. If you leave $4 for the Yorshim, that's enough. So the Ktzais quotes the Tshuvas Agoinim, he leaves it like that. So the Chasam Sofer thinks that we shouldn't follow that Tshuvas Agoinim. Chasam Sofer says you should leave some significant amount for the Yorshim. So Moshe Feinstein wrote a Tshuva based on the Chasam Sofer. So he wrote the Tshuva 60 years ago. So he says, I think if you leave $25,000 for each one of the Yorshim, that's, you know, $25,000 just enough to buy a cigar. To buy some underwear. Some you have to leave them $100,000, $250,000. Some money is not as valuable as it used to be years ago. If you leave a significant amount for the Yorshim, then you can give 98% away to tzedakah. You have to leave some significant amount for the Yorshim. There is a din d'araisa of tzavua. The Mishnah Baba Basa Kuf Lama Namar Aleph quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. The pasuk says, "V'hoy b'yom al-chilos banam eisa shiyah lo, v'yuchol avak es benu ha'uva al pnei ben ha'snua ha'b'chor." What do you mean? "V'hoy b'yom al-chilos banam eisa shiyah lo." When he's about to give over the Yerusha. What do you mean? I'm about to give over the Yerusha. Malach HaMavis takes my life and I drop dead. I don't give over the Yerusha unless I commit suicide. When in the Yom HaChilah is born. So Rabbi Yechman Berkis says, you see from the Pasuk, we pass like Rabbi Yechman Berkis. Ator Nostan Rishus Lab L'Hanchel L'Chol Mishi Yirtza. The Torah gives the father the right to make a tzavah to leave to whomever he wants. But the Mishnah explains that's only Ben Abonim. Let's say I have three sons. So two sons are in learning. One of my sons is a businessman. So he doesn't need my Yerusha. So let's say I only have three sons. Instead of giving, let's say nobody's a b'chor. So instead of giving 33%, I'll give 10% to the son who's in business. He doesn't need the money. And the 90%, I'll divide 45% to him, 45% for him. So maybe it's not a smart thing to do. Maybe the son who's in business will feel insulted. Well, I only left him 10%. Okay, that's a consideration. But at least I left Bein Ben Abonim. The three sons are all in line to get. Each one is in line to get 33%. So if I change the percentages, the proportion, I give 45, 45, and 10, so that's legitimate. But let's say I have three sons and six daughters, and I say I want everybody to get equally. The daughters are not in alignment to get anything. I'm going to write in Savoy, my next door neighbor should get, or my Rebbe in Yeshiva should get. He's not in line to get anything. So then the Mishnah says, only if he's in line to get Yerusha, you can change the proportions. Bas b'makom bein, it doesn't help. An outsider, it doesn't help. So that's why you have to have either mitzvah lekayim de rameis, put it away in a trust fund, if it's hushlash mechila lekach, or you make kinyonim, make his chayvus. But the din of tzavoya only applies if he's worthy. Or Shadeni Gemara also has a suffix, and we paskin a suffix namayna lekula. Maybe Rabbi Yechaman Breuker's din only applies if the fellow is a shchiv meira. We have a din dibra shchiv meira kiksuv v'mechin surunda. Shchiv meira doesn't mean a goises. Goises means a guy's mom is holding by death. Goises, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis writes, a goises is an individual in whom the tahalich hamobis has already begun. That's a Pirush HaMishnayis and the first perik in Aholos. But the Mishnah says goises kechai, goises not mitamei. So the Rambam says, what's the definition of a goises? One in whom, we have the Hebrew translation of the Arabic, one in whom the Ta'alich HaMovis has already begun. So that's mamish holding by the yen. You need a good definition. What is the Ta'alich HaMovis? When is death and when is the beginning of death? That's another discussion. What's the definition of death? When is the beginning of the definition of death? See here, the Gemara doesn't say you need goses. In fact, there's a machlek of Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that a goses, since the Talich HaMavis has already begun, as Al-Pidin considered a labardas, so he cannot write a get and he cannot make any kinyonim at all. Based on Igmar, Murchas Mishanaf Lo Kishu Goses, Gmar Baba Basu, Gmar the end of Kiddushin. That's a big machloikas. A Goses can take Nedorim, that's a Mishnah like that in Erechen. A Goses can take Nedorim because the Rosh says, because a Neder doesn't need such a high level of Das. Das Avloa is enough. Even a Mufla Samach Lishi before Bar Mitzvah also has enough Das. To take a neder. But if you need real das, like gittin kiddushin, or you need real das for kinyonim, so that's a big machlekes in Tosfos. Bali HaTosfos, where the goses has enough das. But there's a concept of shchiv meira. So we know there's a din mid the rabbanon, din shchiv meira kiksuv v'mechin surdam. Shchiv meira means a person is sick in bed. He has the flu, that's all. But he may be nervous that he's going to die, and he may be so nervous that his money, he's going to die, and the money is going to go to his children, and he really wanted to give the money to other people. So we tell him, don't worry. If you die from this sickness, if you don't recover, whatever you say is a kinyan without making any kinyan. If he makes the instructions, he wants to give this house to this one because he's mitzava machmas misa, he thinks he's going to die. So then there is a din mid the rabbanon. So usually we assume call the Tikkun Rabbanon came the Raisa Tikkun, all the Dinam Rabbanon have to be patterned after some Dinam Raisa or another. So where is there a Din Raisa where Shchiv Meira plays a role? Is there any halacha? There are Dinam where Gosis plays a role. There are Dinam Raisa where Gosis does play a role. Gosis Kechai, so he's not Betamne. Some Rishonim hold Gosis Allah Badas, can't make it a get, he can't make a Dushan. We don't accept like that. But there are Dinam where Gosis is a relevant factor. But are there any dinim deraisa where shchiv meira is a relevant factor? What do they base this on? So the Gemara and the next daf in Baba Basra, Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, Gemara is a suffix. Maybe that pasuk that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Breuker quoted, "Fabiyom Adchilo Azbana Beisa Shiyalo," that teaches us how Torah Nosnam Rishus Laav Lahanchil Bechol Mishi Yirtze. The father has a right to be chaylek Nechosav Al Piv. One who's royally Yosho, I can give him. He's entitled to get 33%. I can see to it that he gets 50%. 45%, whatever. So maybe that din only applies biyom achilas bana if he's a shchiv meira. You can't say only a goses. That's not mistaber. But the Gemara says maybe shchiv meira. So misofik, it's an ibaydul efshita. So misofik, we pass on the Shulchan Aruch that all of the yorshim are considered muhzok in the yosher of the Yerusha. And if the father made the tzavoya, That's valid ben Torah to change the percentages before he was a goises. He makes it at the age of 50. He's not sick at all. But then we pass him that the tzavah would not be valid. We say all of the yorshim are muchzok and it's a suffix mamayin of the kulas and the muchzok can keep it. So the tzavah, that din of Torah nesnam shus lav lahanchel lachomisha yirtze, it's not too relevant by us because the people make the will, they fill out the will. They're not holding by dying at all. They're nowhere near shchiv meira. So on the level of deraisa, that's not a din of tzavah. The din deraisa of tzavah only works if he's in line to get some yerusha, so I can give him a bigger percentage. And we pass him misafik, it only works if the one who's making the will, the father making the will, is a shchiv meira. But by us, the will is always made before. So the way to make the kinyonim is to have zoch liyonim shalom yifanot. You have to have the Jewish lawyer. It's not a good taste to make the kinyonim with the children themselves. My daughter's going to give me a handkerchief that each month I obligate myself to give each month $2 million. That's not nice. So you have a Jewish lawyer. Zoch liyonim shalom yifanot only works if all the people are Jewish. So I'm Jewish, my daughters are Jewish, my sons are Jewish, and I get a lawyer who's Jewish. So the Jewish lawyer gives me a handkerchief, and he says, by my accepting the handkerchief, I created his chayvus to give each one of the children $1 million. I'm not going to have $9 million. So they're going to divide everything equally. And then I don't want to cheat, let's say, if I would have a p'chor, and I don't have a p'chor. My oldest is a girl. If I would have a p'chor, I'm supposed to get pishnayim. So you should say that the shibudim, I'm mishabed myself to $1 million to each one of the 9 children, the shibud should be chal on all of my assets except for $500,000, whatever. That should be divided hilchazirush, except for $300,000, whatever. You leave out some amount of money, and that should be subject to the laws of Yerusha. So the p'chor should get pishlaim, and the pshutim should get the Yerusha from there. There is a tshuva, the first tshuva, the Mate Levi. Mate Levi was a rov in Frankfurt. So he corresponded with Rav Yitzchak Ochanan. That's number one in the Marmikamas. So the Shaila was, a man was going to die, and he knew that his children, and he had a Pchor, who was entitled to Pishnayim, and the others were secular, and they weren't going to observe the din of giving Pishnayim. So the father wanted to know, is it his responsibility? Does he have to see to it? Does he have to fill out documents to make sure, to assure the fact that the Pchor should get the Pishnayim? Well, no. He's going to die. Pchor is entitled to Pishnayim if the other brothers cheat him. So it's not my responsibility. So they're cheating him. So the question was brought up. Maybe that's the Pshat and the Posek, Yakir. The Ramban, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, deletes a lot of mitzvahs that the Rambam counted, and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. So he puts this in as one of the mitzvahs. Pchor ben Asnoa Yakir. So what does it mean, Yakir? The father has to see to it before he dies. It's his responsibility to see to it that they should give the pishnayim to the pchor. So Rabbi Yitzchak has a raya from the Gemara. The Ketzais is raya from the Gemara. That's not what pshat and yakir is. But he says it's the father's responsibility to see to it that children don't violate gezel. If it's biyodo to make a document that should be legally binding, that they should give the pchor the pishnayim that he's entitled to. So la prusha miyisura, the father should make such a secular will, to see to it, to ensure the fact that the Pchor should be entitled to the Pishnayim. Okay, so we know all about Yerusha and Tzavuos. We should all live in Arichas Yamim, shouldn't have any problems. The Gemara in Erevin says that some of the Amoraim had Amidas Chasidus based on the Psukim in Koheles. Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech makes fun of the people who die, and they amassed a lot of money, and then the money goes to their children. The children don't carry on in the same hashkofa as the parents. So that's a terrible thing. The guy worked all his life and he was a Yerei Shamayim and wanted to support the children are going to gamble away the money. So the Gemara has said there were certain Amoraim who saw to it that before they died they gave away all of their money. There was no Yerusha. So they quote in the Sefer Tnuas HaMusar, they quote that the Bali Musar picked up on this Zach. So Rabbi Sol Salanta had a whole library. He was a Rabbi Talmud Chacham. So before he died, he gave everything away. He didn't have too much money. He gave everything away, and the Svarim he gave away to Beis Medrash, and he only had the clothes that he was wearing. And after he was going to die, they're going to throw them in the garbage. And he borrowed Svarim from the Beis Medrash. So when he dies, even the Svarim didn't go Birusha. He didn't leave anything Birusha. So some of his Talmidim also, they followed this Midas Chasidus from the Gemara. Today, I don't know if that would fly. So people think the guy's a Meshuggah. But the Bali Musa, follow because the Gemara has such an idea, based on the Psukim and Koheles. You shouldn't leave a Yerusha, because you don't know. Zol Salanta's son was not observant. The son was not observant. Was no Shama Shabbos. So he didn't want to leave the Yerusha for the son. Okay, good. Thank you.